Good to be with you today. My name is Alan, and this is our Realize Your Role journal. If you have one of these journals, pull them out. This is a Realize Your Role journal. If you do not have one of these journals yet, they are now half price. You can buy them in the lobby at the white marble table. They're only $5 or $10 originally, but they're only $5. That isn't a deal because we're half through them. So they're only half good. They're only half good, but the good part is still good. It's only $5 for 9 more weeks that we'll be walking this out. It has a daily reading opportunity there for you. That's 8 cents a day. 8 cents a day. You can all afford 8 cents a day. Okay, if you have your journal, then I invite you to turn with me to pages 10 and 11. This is where we have a list of what we refer to as the 9 essential roles, and this shapes how we decide what to talk about on Sundays, and this shapes or the structure for how we want to go after our pursuit of Jesus. We refer to the 9 essential roles. So the journal is Realize Your Role. So we want to break it down into these 9 pieces. And today, what we're looking at is number 3, the role of worshiper. What does it mean to be a worshiper? We're actually starting a series, a 4-week series this morning, talking about worshiper. Now, we respond differently to the whole idea of worshiper, and some of us are more attentive to that, more kind of easily connected to the idea of worship. Some of you are excited about the worship part of it. That's why you love DeAndre. I'd say, oh, we love DeAndre. We do love DeAndre, partially because he's awesome, but also because he and his team, they invite us and into this opportunity to worship God. And so our emotions and our mind are connected with the singing, etc. And so this is a significant part of our Sunday morning experience. Others of you, and I've been here for a long time, and I've known some people who just show up late. You just don't connect with the worship piece. That has nothing to do with the quality of the band, but some people just don't connect with the worship piece. We have different responses to the whole worship experience. And there are different body forms that we have during worship. And we can see it in the room during the time of worship, different ways that we use our arms, etc. Comedian Tim Hawkins has different names for some of these body positions, just to kind of let you know. Maybe you can identify where you land on some of this. One piece is what is referred to as the carry the TV. This is carry the TV. And it's more subtle. It's like, you know, you can kind of hide that a little bit. And then this is the widescreen TV. It's a little more aggressive. You can bump up against the people next to you. There's this is the size of the fish I caught. So it's a little bit more visible. This is the liar who just kind of says, this is the size of the fish that I caught. There's more bold versions. You can get into the touchdown position. This is a big one. This is a big, bold move. You can do the one-hand touchdown. That's only, I guess, 3 points, I guess. And then Tim Hawkins' favorite is the Mufasa, which is this one right here. I've seen some Mufasas here in the room. The circle of life, that's what this one is. It's a two-handed up front. And then there's one that it leans towards, forgive me if this sounds sexist, but it leans towards more women than men who do what Tim Hawkins refers to as the wash the window. This is the wash the window. This is a big, bold one because it's big and high and it's got movement. And so there are different expressions, and you can identify yourself in some of those pieces. Some of you, not only do you worship on Sunday morning, but you drive your car and all of your radio stations are preset to Christian radio. And you have the rest of them are 88.8 or whatever that you just have Christian radio stations and whatever else is on there. And that's all you listen to. And then others of you are in the room, you have learned for the first time right here, right now, that there are Christian radio stations. And so I understand that there are different people. Worship is not just about what happens on Sunday morning. Worship is not just about music. And that's what we're going to be exploring here in this series, is just exactly, I don't know about exactly, but at least we're going to be moving in the direction of trying to figure out just how big and awesome and how wide and how valuable this whole idea of worship is. That's what we're going to do in this series. Would you pray with me as we head into it? Father, I pray that you would provide clarity for us here today, that you would, wherever we sit here in this room, wherever, for those of us who are at home, we're watching, we're thinking, we're engaging on this topic of worship, God, wherever we are, whatever we come from, wherever our background is, God, that you would invite us into something meaningful, that there is a role for all of us as worshipers. We may not all want to raise our hands in a bold way, but God, you want us to connect with you as worshipers. Would you help us understand what that means? Here today and in this series, we pray humbly and boldly in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. All right, so what we're doing with this series is we are calling it attention. We're calling, that there's a whole idea of what I mean by worshiper is that we give our full attention to God. One of the most profound and effective ways that you can show love and care and support for someone is to simply give them your full attention. If you want to gain points with your spouse right now, then what you can do right after this service is find the next available opportunity to look them in the eye. This is a lost art. Look them in the eye and listen to them fully. This is giving them your full attention, and it is an incredibly powerful way to show love and care and support for somebody else. Because we all know the opposite of that. We all know what it's like to be in a conversation and to know that the person we're talking with is somewhere else. You know what we're talking about, right? When you're in a conversation and they just seem to be looking over your shoulder, and you're talking to them and you're going, what, what, what? You're talking, and just seems like they're looking for somebody else. They're looking around and just kind of, yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're, you can tell you barely have their attention, and it's offensive. It is a difficult way to connect with one another. And what we often do now in our culture, we all know what we do now. We pull out our phone. We're in a conversation with somebody, and then it beeps or it buzzes. And so, oh, well, I've got to take a pause from this conversation I'm in right now because I got to check this text right now. This is one of the major issues with technology. It allows us to connect with one another in beautiful and powerful ways, but it is incredible distraction. On average here in our country, we check our phone 100 times a day. 100 times a day. We are so distracted, and it's so hard for us to focus our attention, to give our full attention to someone. And what worship means is that we give our full attention to God. But it is so difficult for us to do that because we are so distracted by so many things. But it's not your phone's fault. This issue did not surface in 2011 with the invention or with the arrival of the iPhone. This is not when this stuff kicked in. We all have had for decades and decades some level of ADD, of attention deficit disorder. All of us have had some levels of that. I remember a number of years ago, I was meeting with someone in the old church in my office for a one-on-one counseling time with someone, sitting down and just talking about life and just meeting with someone as a pastor. It was in the afternoon, and I had a big lunch, and I didn't sleep well the night before. And so I was in a one-on-one counseling scenario, and I could feel myself start to fade a little bit. And so I'm sitting on a chair, And I'm trying to pay attention. I'm listening. I'm trying to pay attention. And then I have the dreaded and terrifying head shake. You know when different scenarios and you're trying to stay awake, and then your whole body just suddenly kind of does this whole thing. I did it. I had the head shake. I was done. This is why I don't do one-on-one counseling. This is why I don't do it. This is why I'm not a therapist. And so, but I was meeting and I was tired and I was doing my best to listen, but my attention was starting to fade. And I know you're all judging me right now, but just stay with me. And I did the whole big terrifying head jerk, and I had no idea how long I was out. I didn't know if it was for a millisecond or if it was for 10 minutes. I don't know. All I know is that when I came back, the person was still talking. I think that was a good sign. The person was still talking, and so then I don't know exactly what happened. I'll never know. I'm confident that person is no longer at this church, but I don't know the story. I don't know exactly how that all ended, but I know that I drifted from giving this person my attention, and it was an awful thing. It was an awful thing. So what does this have to do with worship? I think we can connect easily with the idea of the importance of what it means to give someone our full attention. But how does this line up with worship? The word worship literally comes from two words, worth-ship. That's what worship is. It is the worth-ship. It is us declaring, deciding how valuable God is. How worthy is God of my attention? That's what the word literally means. And this is why it's not just about 30 minutes on Sunday morning. It is about our whole lives in terms of how much we value God and how much we will give God our attention way beyond a Sunday morning experience. This is so important because we tend to equate the two. We tend to equate worship with the first 30 minutes of a Sunday morning experience. We tend to equate the two. And that's how we use our language. We say, hey, how'd you think worship was this morning? That's what we say. We say, how did worship? Well, I loved worship. Worship was awesome. David and the band and DeAndre, they did such a great job. Worship was great. Message, not so great. It wasn't tracking. But the worship was great. That's the language we use. We equate the two. The half hour at the beginning, that's what we call the worship piece. But it's so much more than that. It is everything that we do 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. In what ways are we giving our attention to God? Is it just the 30 minutes on Sunday morning or the 60 minutes on Sunday morning? Or do we give worship to God throughout the week? When we're reading, when we are praying, when we are meditating, when we're walking, when we're painting, when we're singing, when we're listening to the radio, when we're driving to work, when we are hiking, when we are running, what's happening in our mind and in our heart? Are we giving our attention to anything and everything that is available, or are we giving that time, in that moment, in that time, are we giving attention to God? Because God can't speak to us. He can't lead us. He can't show us. He can't guide us if we're not paying attention to Him. And if it's just 30 minutes on Sunday morning, that's good. It's better than nothing. But then that becomes the only time that we listen to God. God can't guide us, lead us, if we're not paying attention to Him. For those of us who are parents, this makes complete sense. Because our kids can't be moved or shaped by our loving parenting if they're not paying attention. And this actually brings up nightmares. My kids are older now, but when my kids were younger, it brings up nightmares on the number of times I have been around the door that leads to the car in the garage, the number of times I've been around that door and I have said the phrase, I don't know how many times I've said the phrase that has been so painful and brings nightmares to me still. And it's the phrase, put your shoes on. And I don't know if any of you can relate to this whole idea of just put your shoes on. And it's so frustrating because that's all I'm asking, and yet they're not paying attention. And so, you know, the kids will just, you know, put your shoes on, and then, hey, Daddy, look like, and you can go all the way around, Daddy. It's awesome. Isn't that neat, Daddy? Okay, that's really, really, you know, I hope your shoulder's going to be okay, but just put your shoes on. Daddy, why don't we have any frogs in Phoenix? I love frogs, and I would love to play with more frogs and find frogs and play with frogs and jump. Look, I can jump like a frog. Why don't we have more frogs in Phoenix? Great question. Just if you could, we can talk about it in the car, if you could put your shoes on. Daddy, where are we going? Why are you wearing your glasses, Daddy? Why is your face red? Put your shoes on. And Daddy, are you getting mad? Why are you getting mad? What's happening? What's wrong with you? Put your shoes on. I mean, the whole thing is just so frustrating because I, as a loving parent, sometimes I'm in those moments and I just think, if you could just pay attention to me, we could get on with life. And I guess if I was a good parent, I'd pay attention to them and their interest in frogs, etc. But I think God, as our Father in heaven, desires our attention because there's so many things that he wants to say to us, so many moments in our days, in our difficult days, where he wants to speak to us. But we're just so distracted by everything else going on, and it's simply a matter of not giving our attention to the one that we value the most, the one who is worthy of that attention, the worth-ship of our attention. That's what worship is, giving God our attention. Now, there's a book in the Old Testament that is the book of worship. It's the longest book in the Bible. It's the book of Psalms. If you have a Bible, it's likely going to be right in the middle. And depending on, you know, which book you have, it's often going to be right in the middle because it's really big. It's really long. It's the book of Psalms. And it is a collection of 150 songs, which are attempts to try to capture how worthy God is. That's what the book of Psalms is. It is multiple different ways of trying to capture in words the worth-ship of God. Half of the Psalms were written by David. Half, literally half, 75 of the 150 Psalms were written by David, who was the rock-slinging, you know, killing Goliath, rock-slinging warrior king who was also very much a worshiper. And one of the most beloved and known songs / psalms that he wrote is Psalm 23. And I want to take a look at this here today as we look at giving our attention to God and unpack what it means to be a worshiper. If you're familiar with Psalm 23, and you likely are, my guess is that you're familiar with the King James Version of this psalm. Now, I'm going to look at the New International Version, a more modern translation of it, and it might kind of jar you a little bit because it's not perhaps what you have memorized or grew up with, but maybe it'll kind of stir us up even more. Psalm 23, if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn there with me. David writes, first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Let me just pause there. I know you know the phrase, "I shall not be in want." I know you know the other version of that. But I also like this phrase here, "I lack nothing." God is my shepherd. This is David's beginning of his attention that he wants to give to God and just say, "God, you are my shepherd and I lack nothing." When I think of that phrase, I think of my dog. My 11-year-old cockapoo lacks nothing. She doesn't have to work hard at all in order to get through her day. She doesn't need to hunt. Thank God she doesn't need to hunt because she has chased hundreds and hundreds of rabbits. And I don't even know, she's never even come close to getting a rabbit. And I don't even know what she would do if she ever did come close because she's afraid of moths. And I can't imagine her surviving on her own. She doesn't have to look for water. She doesn't have to take care of any of that. She doesn't have to worry about COVID-19. She doesn't have to worry about the mortgage or how you know, bills are paid. The worst day in her life is periodically when we have to take her collar off and we have to lift her up and we have to put her in the sink and then pour warm water over her in a climate-controlled room, and yet she still shakes like she's approaching the summit of Mount Everest, you know, shaking just as if it's the worst day of her life. And you can just see the body language, the dog body language. It just says, "I hate life and I'm not really happy with any of you." This is a beast that is lacking nothing. David continues, verse 2. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. In other words, God, shepherd, I will give you my full attention in the good times. When the grass is green and the water is clean, I will give you my attention, my full attention. He continues, verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In other words, shepherd, I will give you my full attention in the bad times as well. In the darkest valley, when things are not going well. God, shepherd, I will not blame you when things are going poorly. When a loved one dies, when a dream dies, when a plan dies, when hopes fade away, I will not blame you for what I fear, what I'm afraid of. I will not blame you for that. I will continue to give you my full attention, shepherd, because I lack nothing. Last two verses, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, God, I will give you my full attention, whatever lies ahead. Whatever lies, I don't know who's going to sit at the table with me in my future. What table that's going to be, where that's going to be, how what food's going to be set before us. I don't know what that table's going to look like, but I will continue to give you my full attention. I don't know what the plans are. I don't know exactly how things are going to look in the future, but no matter what that is, I will continue to give you my full attention in the good times, in the bad times, whatever lies ahead. I will give you my full attention. Now, I want to address the men in the room for just a minute. So, women, you can take a break, you can do some texting, whatever seems comfortable for you. But I want to address the men for just a minute because that's the gender I relate to the best. And it's, you know, okay, men, some of you might be saying, okay, on the topic of worship, some of you might be saying, I don't worship. I'm great with getting up on Sunday morning, with finding a parking spot and dropping off the kids and coming in and trying to pay attention, you know, for the whole hour and all. I'm good with almost all of that stuff, but I'm not going to be washing any windows. I'm not going to be doing any of that stuff. I'm just not a worshiper. And what I would say to you is, yes, you are. Absolutely, yeah. You might not use the word worshiper, but absolutely you are. If you are dating someone right now, or you remember when you were dating your wife, my guess is that there was some worship going on in the early stages there. Anything that we are obsessed with, anything that we commit our time to and our money to, that is what we give our full attention to. That is all that worship is. It is saying, you are worth it. You are worthy of all of my attention. So what I'm saying is that all of us worship something. We all know how to worship. We might kind of think about the church experience of worship and say, maybe I don't connect with that, but you know how to worship. All of us know how to worship. Even an atheist worships something. An atheist might worship their own intellect. They might worship Stephen Hawking. They're going to worship. They're going to put their attention on something because we all know how to worship. So the question is not, do you worship? The question is, what do you worship? It's not that we have some people who are worshipers and some people who are not worshipers. The issue is, what is it that you choose to worship? And there are two things that tend to compete with our worship. And you know, we've talked about, just last week we talked about money and how money is such a strong competition for our attention, etc. But you could back up into two broad categories of things that will just capture anything and everything that takes our worship away from God. And those are our wants, and those are our worries. And money fits into the wants category, and it can fit into the worries category. But what we tend to put our attention towards are our wants and our worries. We see that even in this ancient song by David. Here he says, here are my wants. My wants are green pastures, quiet waters, and right paths. These are my wants. David is not saying, I'm not saying I'm worshiping these things. I'm just saying I'm worshiping you as my shepherd. But these are my wants. This is what's going on. This is what stirs up our hearts so often. And then he has worries. I'm worried about the darkest valley. I'm worried about evil. I'm worried about sitting in the presence of my enemies. We can totally relate to this. It is our wants and our worries that compete for our attention. So the issue then is, what are we going to give our attention to? Are we going to give it to the wants, to the worries, or to the shepherd? And the reason this is a big deal, it's a very big deal, what we choose to give our attention to. Because whatever we choose to give our attention to, whatever we choose to worship, is what we become. Whatever we focus our time and our money and our attention on, that's what we become. The more we spend time with something, that's what we become. You ever notice how people who've been married a long time, they just start to look like each other? And they've been married a while, and maybe they were quite different when they were first dating, but now they just kind of just dress the same, and they seem to have clothes from the same era, and their hygiene is kind of similar, you know, and body shape and all that. And just seeing people who've been together, they just start to look and think and talk similar to one another. You ever notice people, sometimes they look like their pets? Because they spend a lot of time with their pets. I had a sweet woman some time ago in a neighborhood I was living in, and she was a mature woman. I would walk her little dog, and she looked exactly like her poodle. And it was they both had really thin white hair. And if it wasn't for the size, I would have a hard time knowing, you know, which one was which. But what happens sometimes is we start to look like, because we spend so much time there, and there's just sort of a connection. We say, oh, I'm going to make you look like me. And the whole thing is kind of weird. Whatever we worship, whatever we give our attention to on a regular basis, it's what we become. Men, if you worship a woman for too long, you will cease to be a man. And you will miss out on what your role is in the kingdom. Because you are not designed to worship a woman. You're designed to pursue her and to invite her into your love for the shepherd. When we worship our wants and our worries, they will consume us. That we will become one with them. But the flip side of that is that when we worship, when we give our attention to God, then we will become like who? Jesus. That's the whole point of that. That's why Jesus came, is to be a model for us to look at. That's why we worship Jesus and we sing so many songs about Jesus. The more we think about and put our attention on Jesus, the more likely we are to become like Jesus. See, God isn't up in his throne in heaven needy of your attention. God isn't saying, oh, love me, think of me, sing to me. That's not what's happening with God. God knows that what you need the most, what you and I need the most, is the example of Jesus. Paul repeats this idea of being imitators of God. Being an imitator of God. And that's what Jesus is, the incarnate, the living version of who God is. And so what it means is that when we worship and give our attention to God, we start to think like Jesus and respond like Jesus and act like Jesus and love like Jesus and experience the depths of joy like Jesus. And God knows that that's what we long for the most. And our pursuit of joy, it's when we put our attention to the wants and worries, we continue to pursue fake joy instead of the one who is true joy. So, have you identified yourself somewhere this morning, and whether it's, you know, some of the things that David had said, or pursuing wants, or pursuing worries, or can you see yourself in there somewhere? What do you worship? Because again, the issue is not do you worship, the question is what do you worship? Not what should you worship, not a hypothetical, you know, this is the person that I know I'm supposed to be or whatever. I'm talking about this past week. Just looking at this past week, what did you give your attention to? That is what you worship, and that is what you will become. That is what we will become, whatever we choose to worship and give our attention to. So what would it look like for you to give your full attention to God? What would that look like? For you to give your full attention to God when you wake up in the morning, when you go for an exercise, when you start your day, what would it look like for you to give your full attention to God when you are driving to work or whatever your first destination is for the day, when you're dealing with a situation that doesn't go your way, when you're dealing with a person that has frustrated you, when you are filling your free time, when you're walking your dog who perhaps looks like you, when you are lying down before you go to bed, before you go to sleep, that time before you go to sleep, is there a moment there where you just say, God, maybe you don't even know how to pray. Maybe you're not all comfortable with prayer. But what might it look like for you to just give your full attention to God? You are not thinking about all of these details, all this stuff going on. You are just thinking about God. What might that look like for you at a number of different moments throughout the day, in the good times, in the bad times, and whatever lies ahead, as David wrote thousands of years ago? What would it look like for us to say, God, I value you. I identify you are the one who is worthy of my praise, of my attention, of my time, of my trust. God, you are worthy. That's what it means to worship. So over the next 3 Sundays, we're going to continue to explore that. And right now, we're going to close by experiencing that once again. Would you stand? We're going to celebrate with another song. And I just invite you to give your attention to God as we do this song. I want to pray with you as we head into this. Father, right now we give you our attention. Right now here in this prayer, we give you our attention. Help us to not think about what has to happen next, and where is this, and what did this other person say or think, or what God. Help us to just set that stuff aside right now here, because God, we want to give you our full attention as we sing, as we celebrate, as we engage both our head and our heart in worship.